Good morning, world. Good morning, Wisconsin. Hope the day is treating you good for this April 27th, 2023. You have your host, James J. Mailoff here. I am joined by Seth Havhager.
Good morning.
And we're joined by Madison Rafter with the Southwood County Humane Society. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
Good to have you be here. Thanks for being here. We want to send a shout out to our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society. I appreciate them sponsoring this segment, giving us the time, and you driving in here and everything. We really appreciate it, Madison.
We love being here.
Are we going to feature an animal today, or do we talk?
We are.
Okay.
We have Honey Bunny.
Immediate fan.
Honey Bunny is a roughly 8-pound rabbit that we had received in as a surrender. She is about a year and a half old. Her coloring is like a Siamese cat, so she is a sable point rabbit. Could not tell you the breed of what she is. She's kind of just a mix of all over. But Honey Bunny is available for adoption. She is up to date on vaccines, there is a rabbit vaccine. We do not provide that at that time, but it is something that you could get, but she is at least spayed. So with our rabbits, she's kind of a little temperamental rabbit, so she's definitely a rabbit looking for somebody with an experienced owner. So
cool. And that can be the case, not just with rabbits, but with a lot of animals. Mm-hmm. If there are people that that had that experience, are looking at this particular rabbit, Honey Bunny, it's a great name. It's a great name. immediately have a million Pulp Fiction scenes come pop in my head. I love it. When it comes to a rabbit like this, say there's somebody out there and what's experience?
Yep.
You know, what is that, having a rabbit for years? Is it just knowing a lot about rabbits? Maybe you haven't had one. A little more detail for them.
Yeah, definitely. So with Honey Bunny in particular, she's very territorial of her space.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not a rabbit that can be in a small, basic, normal setup of a cage. So like the plastic bottom with the wire tops, she's one that actually needs space to roam. She needs to be taken out a couple times a day, actually able to run around, stretch her legs, that kind of situation. If she is locked up in a cage all the time, she's going to get very territorial, she's going to lunge, she's going to bite, and she's just very sassy in that way, where she doesn't like to be cooped up, but I don't blame her. But at least with somebody with experience, definitely at least how to recognize those behaviors, be able to handle a rabbit. She's not an easy rabbit that you can just pick up really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
She's one that's going to run from you as quickly as possible, or she's going to kick at you. So definitely something, if it was something you didn't have that experience, we would be able to set you up for success of, hey, this is what's going to be the best for this rabbit.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Madison.
Yeah.
When it, especially for people who haven't owned rabbits or had them before, one of the first things I'll tell you is their personality. They have such character. They have such little personalities to them and everything. And I think that we oftentimes lump all animals with dogs or cats in those categories and stuff. The rabbit has little like bits of maybe those groups, but they are their own thing. And you should really know that going into it. I know when I worked at shelters, this time of year, we got an influx of rabbits because of Easter. Is that still a thing?
More so in the big cities, not necessarily in the small county shelters.
Cool.
Honey Bunny had come in actually before Easter, and it wasn't like we got her for Easter. They've had her for a couple of years, and then they were able to bring her in just due to the fact that they couldn't support her anymore. Again, the Easter, it's still there, whereas people do like, I want a bunny for Easter.
Yeah.
And they do come in, but it's more in the bigger cities.
Well, that's good to know that at least it's getting better.
Yep.
The knowledge of that seems to be being a lot better about things. We know that it is a busy season over there. Are there things that we can do to help out? Are there things that you guys are in need of over there?
Yeah, kitten season is in full swing. We have lots of kittens that are in foster at this time and will be coming up for available for adoption. We are in really high need of kitten wet food and cat litter. As well as kitten NutriCal. It is a probiotic for kittens, especially younger kittens, to help them continue to grow. Those are our three highest needs. And then with the influx, we will have more rabbits coming in soon, so we are in need of Timothy hay.
Okay. Timothy hay specifically?
Timothy hay, alfalfa hay works. There are many different types of hay, but Timothy hay is usually just the most common one we use.
I gotta be honest, I just discovered that. I had no idea. Like when I had rabbits when I was younger, I swear I felt like there was like maybe two types of hay, but that was pretty much it. Now it's like 90 different types of hay, it seems like.
There are lots of different hays. You have oat hay, you have hay that's mixed in with different things. It kind of depends. Everybody has their preference, but Timothy hay is usually
diet
the
hay,
easiest.
Yep. Light hay, no, clear hay. No, if you are getting a rabbit, are you able to help with that? Or is that something you kind of figure out organically? Like, the rabbit's not eating this, it must not like it or something.
With rabbits, it's kind of there's a little bit more stricter with it. So rabbits have to have hay for digestion. That's something that they always need to have provided to them to allow them to digest their food. Pellets is also a necessary that they have to have, and of course, water. When it comes down to the little extra stuff, Timothy hay cube blocks or toys that they can chew on are really nice to help keep their teeth filed down. Fruits and veggies, there are specific ones that you can feed them and some that you can't. Those usually, in my opinion, I use them more as a treat because sometimes those can be super fattening. Some rabbits prefer to have them more. Kind of just depends on your preference.
You're so darn good at this, by the way. That's awesome. I wanted to shout out two different things. One, WFHR's Petpalooza that's coming up in June. Be on the lookout for that. We're going to talk more and more about that next month as we get closer to it and everything. But just put that seed in your brain. Let it grow. I go to your website all the time. Your Facebook page is great. I like the volunteer pictures I just saw. That was really cool to see. It's nice to see that coming back and everything. That always feels good. But I hadn't looked much into the Shelter Animals Count. I hadn't looked into that organization very much. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this logo on your website a million times. Mm-hmm. And over the weekend, I kind of like, well, I want to do a little homework and you know, check out your Facebook page and just be able to ready when we get together and stuff. And I looked into this organization. They're amazing.
They are.
They're an amazing group of people. Like it tells you something because there's so many organizations out there looking to help animals and stuff, and we need every one of them.
Yep.
We probably need more and everything. But there's so many that sometimes there are ones that slip through the cracks, I think, and we don't always hear about. So I just wanted to take a moment to talk about shelteranimalscount.org. Encourage you to check out that website. It is a national database. You know this better than I do. Would you mind touching on this a little, Madison?
Yeah, so that's one of the organizations that is able to kind of help collect data for shelters when it comes to our intakes, our outtakes, what our euthanasia rate is, things like that. Obviously, with shelters, we want to try to keep our euthanasia rate under 10% a year. Last year, we were able to keep it under that amount, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But the shelter count actually is just kind of a little extra database for us to be able to use to count and track our animals that we have coming in and out of the building.
It's really cool that they're able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I imagine a really nice resource to have.
It is. It is a nice resource. We have a couple other resources as well that we are able to use, but this also works as a like just a better able to put all the data together.
I was blown away that they do this with all species too. Mm-hmm. Like that's pretty impressive.
Yep.
It's a really cool, impressive website. Again, shelteranimalscount.org is the website. Encourage you to check that out. And as far as support and a good resource, you got that right here in Wisconsin Rapids and in this Wood County area.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to reach out, if people want to help out, how can they do that? How should they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they are more than welcome to. We are going to be looking for volunteers. We have those closed until July, so we will be starting our orientation soon for our last round, but volunteering will open up again in July. If they are interested in helping out with other projects or anything along those lines, they can call us at the shelter. Otherwise, they can reach out on our website at swchs.com.
Really appreciate the time, Madison. Already looking forward to next week. Keep an eye on those rabbits. We'll talk. We'll talk. And thank you again so much for what you do for our community. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Say hi to the staff over there for us.
Will do.
We'll talk again next week. We'll talk with you in just a moment. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with more here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. A big shout out to Madison and our friends at the Southland County Humane Society.
Yes,
that
indeed.
Was so much fun.
Yeah,
I already threw curveballs, so I didn't want to throw too many. But I was curious about asking about the bird. I did want to ask about the bird a little bit, but he flew away.
I think he's okay. Yeah, he was stunned a little bit.
He's all right, everybody. He's walking it off. Just like
flying
a true,
it off,
like a true nice, like a true Midwesterner. Just walk it off.
That's throw some all. Dirt on it.
Yep,
you're good. Yeah.
That's what we do. I wanted to get into a little bit of entertainment news. This is interesting. It looks like the end of an era for Aerosmith. The band's logo has been popping up at venues around the country, along with the phrase "Peace Out." There is a countdown clock on their website that expires on Monday, so people are speculating that they're going to be announcing a farewell tour. Earlier this month, Joe Perry said that they were launching a 40-date tour later this year that'll stretch into 2024, but he didn't say it would be their last. The timing is interesting, given that Steven Tyler is facing a lawsuit from a woman who says he had a sexual relationship with her when she was underage in the 70s.
Oh, boy.
And Tyler's defense appears to be that he should have immunity and all these. It's ugly. It's very ugly. So I don't know how any of that's going to go or how well they're going to sell tickets and everything in this day and age with a story like that going on leading into a tour.
That might be rough, a tough sell, yeah.
To be fair, I will say I've seen Aerosmith at Alpine Valley. Great show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big Aerosmith fan. I know who they are. They've got a couple of songs that I really dig. But overall, I'm not a humongous fan or anything. They were impressive. And most importantly, Joe Perry was impressive.
Yeah, he's something else.
Steven Tyler does a good job. I wasn't blown away by him, but I thought he was really good.
He's a classic good front man, for sure. Yeah. But Joe Perry,
Joe Perry's amazing.
He's come up with some great riffs, man.
For Ragdoll, they brought out a slide guitar. And I've never seen somebody play that in live before. And he wailed on that thing like it was a regular guitar. Like it was awesome. He's incredible, very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens with that. We'll be following that story. Another one I'm keeping an eye on, because this just keeps happening, and I don't know who's going to learn first, audiences or movie companies.
Okay.
The internet has found plenty to criticize with these Disney live-action remakes.
Sure.
But one of the most common gripes is that the CGI-created animal characters look too real. That photorealism, as it's called, mm-hmm. really drains the personality out of the characters. It was very apparent in The Lion King, and it looks like the same thing happened in the upcoming Little Mermaid remake.
Hmm.
Disney released official photos of Ariel's friends, Flounder, Sebastian the Crab, and Scuffle the Seagull, and they don't look cute or relatable, just kind of unsettling. And that's their opinion. I'm pulling these up right now. I wanted to do this in real time and get our first impressions of them. So I'm trying to show Seth some pictures.
Yeah.
There's Flounder.
He
is a flounder. Yeah.
Looks like an actual flounder fish, yes.
Looks like a flounder fish that they put a little personality in the face of.
A little
in
bit,
the eyes
yep.
and mm-hmm. the mouth.
Yep.
I want to see if they've got some other ones of these here, and that's the only one I'm
seeing.
That's
the only one, yep.
Flounder is the only one. Oh, there's Sebastian.
Looks like a crab.
Looks like a crab with bigger eyes.
Yeah.
And the
Scuttle looks like a seagull.
Looks like this a seagull
with a fork.
Aquafina's doing the voice of that one. I didn't know that.
That's interesting.
Good.
Okay,
that's pretty good. Divide Diggs is doing Sebastian. He's one of my favorite actors out there.
Very cool.
He's
really very cool. Yeah.
And Jacob Tremblay doing Flounder. That's not bad. I don't think they look bad. I don't think they look. They don't look creepy to me so much as they look real. Like.
I don't. The only thing that is the whole doing all of their classic movies as. Live action. Sort of live action because it's not really.
Yeah.
Like it's mostly a lot of CGI, you know, as we've gone over. I don't know. Is it worth the box office for these? I don't even know how well they've been doing.
Not well.
But they seem to be doing it well enough that they keep wanting to do them for whatever reason.
I don't disagree with that usually with most companies.
Okay.
Disney's a little different.
Okay.
Disney has, while I'm sure that they don't do anything wanting to lose money.
Of course not.
Disney was one of the first companies that came out and said, you know what we're going to do? Because this is just another version of this.
Right.
We've got Sword in the Stone. People love this movie. We're going to put it in this vault, quote unquote vault, and we're not going to let you have it for 20, 30 years. back when they could get away with that stuff and everything.
Right, indeed.
There was no eBay to go find a copy of it or something like that. There wasn't a download you could make or something.
That's right.
And is that lame? Is it creative? Is it interesting? No, but they did it and they mm-hmm. made a lot of money off profit off it, but they also lost a lot of profits from it.
Mm-hmm.
But they were okay with that because that made them special. That made them unique.
Right.
This is no different.
Gotcha.
It's the same type of like lame kind of storyline. You're just rehashing the same old script and all that.
Exactly.
You're changing one thing about it. Now, is it a major thing? Absolutely. But it's one thing. It isn't that different than I get a little... Like, I am the first person to talk about representation, how important it is.
Right.
I know it better than most, trust me. But the idea of, hey, I'm going to remake this movie, and the only thing I'm going to do different is change the ethnicity of these characters. Like, that's not storytelling. Like, is it representation? Absolutely. And we need that. But how many people are going to go see that same old, same old? How many people, to your point, if you're the biggest Little Mermaid fan in the world, is this pulling you in? Do you really want to see this, or are you just going to go ahead and watch the cartoon? You know,
right? Because that's what you grew up on, I think a certain amount of nostalgia will help the box office on shows like this and the movies like this. But at the same time, it's like it seems so. I don't know. It just it seems kind of pointless to me to redo them like that. Why, you know, other than to make money. And I guess if they're making enough money, so they're going to keep doing them, I guess that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. I can't think that they can keep doing this, though.
No.
Because the shelf life on it, it
doesn't seem that long. It really doesn't.
No, and I don't think you're doing anybody any favors either.
No, you're not.
It isn't something that people are asking for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing about this. It's one thing to come up with a creative idea and like, wow, that's pretty cool. Didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's another to be like, hey, you know, we didn't really ask for this. Like,
yeah, right.
They were popular because they were cartoons. Like,
right, exactly. And kids love to go see them and everything like that. Again, I'm not downplaying certain aspects of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the representation you said, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It feels a little cynical to me from my perspective.
It seems
that Disney's doing it like for, are they doing it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems a little, but anyway, that's a discussion for another day. But at the same time, you know, if you wanted to remake some of your things, why not do it stuff that you can't use anymore? Like Song of the South. Why don't you go ahead and completely reimagine it?
Yeah.
You can keep some of the same songs in there, mm-hmm. you know, the zippity, you know, the famous songs from that. Yeah. Why don't you do something with that? That makes more sense to me.
Song of the South without the racism. Like, seems like a pretty good idea.
Celebration of Southern culture, of African American culture.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
It's also something that you know audiences will see.
Exactly.
Audiences have already shown a response to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to get into that a little bit with you. Not too much, of course. We'd only have so much time and everything. But think about if – I want you to out there imagine that you are a little kid again, mm-hmm. and you're watching Disney cartoons.
Yeah.
And you're enjoying them. And like every one of us that watch cartoons, we envision ourselves as these characters or those things. Now imagine doing that and you don't look like those characters.
Yeah.
You know, my sister, my brother,
exactly.
my children watching these cartoons and never being able to relate to any of these characters, never even feeling, mm-hmm. and to be honest, we still can't because there aren't a whole lot of that.
Not a lot of it,
But it's getting better. There mm-hmm. is more of that. There is more representation. There is more of where little kids can see these things. I mean, God, look at the way people responded to Black Panther. It wasn't just because of a superhero movie or anything, mm-hmm. or the great Chadwick Boseman. It was the first time that so many kids, including people that you and I know that grew up with and everything, mm-hmm. got to see a black superhero.
Yeah.
Like having the full, and not just one, but a bunch of, like the majority of them. Martin Freeman said it perfectly when he was filming that movie. He's sitting there at one time, they're sitting there together, him and Michael B. Jordan and all them, and they're talking and everything, and he's looking around. And it's not just that he's surrounded by African-American actors. The director, everybody was. And he's like, wow, I'm the only white person. Oh, I guess this is what it's like.
Not many people get to experience that, right?
Yeah. Like I respect his perspective of that so much, and the way he shared that and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Representation matters.
Oh yeah.
If you don't like that part of it, how about the economic part of it? Representation helps economics. It helps every community. You have more. You give people a more variety. You give people more options of things. Think about this. If you are selling something, why would you knock out half of your audience?
Yeah, it makes no sense, right?
Who's doing that? Who would do? What smart businessman out there is saying, you know what? We're not going to get. We know that no matter what this product is or what we're doing, we're not going to get everybody on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to go into it knowing that not only am I not going to get everybody, but there is a good half of the society that is not going to be able to get into this.
Right.
How does that make any business sense?
It doesn't.
How does
it help
zero anybody's economics in any field?
Yeah. Well, and maybe to the point is, it doesn't matter what the intention of the studio is. They're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that means the representation is still there.
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't matter what the intention is as long as it's, getting done.
I got a job because of affirmative action when I was younger. And I remember some buddies of mine giving me a hard time and saying, you shouldn't take that job. Have some pride in yourself. Have some respect. You know what I had more pride and respect in? Putting food on my children's plates.
There you go.
I needed a job.
Mm-hmm.
I got a job. I didn't care how I got it. I figured once I got my foot in the door, I'll prove that I earned the job.
Exactly.
And I did. You go ahead and ask anybody that I worked with, and they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get. I may have gotten the job one way, but I kept the job because of my work ethic.
Exactly.
I have no issue with these things. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what the holdup is. Are you worried that white people aren't going to be in movies and TV shows anymore? You think they're not going to show up anymore? We're just going to completely get rid of everybody. No more white people in movies and TV shows. You can't be in them anymore. Like, that is never going to happen.
That's ridiculous, yeah.
They still overwhelmingly, like, if you had every white actor in every movie that comes out this year, and you ranked all the, you had numbered all the ethnic actors and all the white actors and separated them, I promise you, I guarantee you that they will overwhelmingly outnumber the ethnic actors.
100%, 100%.
What are we worrying about here? This is the whole war on Christmas thing again. Like, how's Christmas doing? How's Christmas stocks doing? It seems pretty good.
Seems okay to me.
Seems all right.
Not hurting.
I wanted to wrap up on a funny one here, and I think this is hilarious because I think there's some relatability in this too. Pete Davidson, Saturday Night Live, former member, doing a lot of Taco Bell commercials now, a good movie actor, a funny stand-up comedian. I'm a fan of his. He is a big Rod Stewart fan.
Oh, really?
And it happened in a kind of a funny way. And it's really Eminem's fault.
Oh, okay.
Pete says, quote, "When I was younger, I bought the uncensored Eminem Show CD, which, of course, I wasn't allowed to have. So I kept it in a Rod Stewart jewel case. My mom noticed, and for years, she'd play Rod Stewart to have something we could bond over."
How about that?
Thinking that he was a big Rod Stewart fan and everything. "I'd be sitting in the car, and suddenly she'd say, 'It's Rod,' and start singing along to Maggie May. I had to learn the songs just to keep the lie going. I kind of learned to like Rod Stewart." That's awesome.
Oh, that is a great story. Oh, my gosh.
That's so good.
That's brilliant.
That's a really good story.
That is brilliant.
I really like that one. I don't know. I know that I did things. I did things, you know, I, like every other teenager in human history, I hid things from my parents, sure.
Right.
But I had it a little bit, I had it a little easier in that respect. I didn't have much at all easy in life. But one thing I did have, my mom and dad, I grew up quick. And they kind of always treated me like a little adult. And so I didn't really have a strict bedtime. I didn't really have a, I had to be home at a certain time. I had to tell my mom and dad where I was. But like a lot of those curfew things and stuff. Musically, I've joked about this before. There was two bands I could not play. The Georgia Satellites and Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses. My mom could not handle either of those lead singers' voices. It wasn't because of the style of music. It wasn't it was too heavy or anything. She'd be blasting Led Zeppelin and come in the room and say, "Hey, Jimmy, I can't handle that Axl Rose voice," or whatever. Turn it off.
"Give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself."
There is no quicker way to see the fury in my mother than playing even a note of that guy's voice.
I like the idea. Just this guy, one hit wonder dude, and that's just, I can't handle it.
But I the only reason I still remember that band is because my mother can't stand that song so much. there were bands that maybe I didn't necessarily hide, but I turned the volume down a little bit.
Like, yeah, right.
But that was it. It really wasn't. I got really lucky. Did you have to do any of this? Did you have to hide music from your family?
No, because I listened to, you know, there was nothing threatening about what I listened to. Yeah. I didn't listen to hip hop or anything like that. Yeah. It was mostly, you know, They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, right.
Sing about death a lot, but other than that, you know,
didn't really have a lot to worry about.
But they have such catchy melodies, so you know.
There you go. We'll take a break. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:34 on the clock. Seth and James behind the microphones. We hope you're having a good one out there. We've got a Danny Wright story coming up for you a little bit later. Some good stories of the day, local good stuff I want to get into as well. This is an interesting one. If you got any gaps in your resume, maybe you were between jobs for a few months or even a few years, the most common way people deal with this is just to lie. But apparently there is another way.
Okay.
Who knew? there's a much better way to
much
do this.
Better.
Much, much better.
Don't lie. Don't lie.
Yeah. What happens when they ask you about that job and you know, the details of it and everything?
Don't. Yes.
Apparently, this is the way. Forbes asked a career coach what to do, and here are their top three tips. Number one, don't list the months you were employed, just the years.
Yes.
You can help even if you were out of work over a year.
Yeah, I remember that one not that long ago when I was trying to applying for some other jobs, you know, a couple of years ago, and it's like you just don't just do the years. Just you don't have to do anything more specific. I almost when I did resumes when I was younger, I did like the day. Mm-hmm. It's like no, don't do that.
I went through a stretch where it was very difficult to find work. Mm-hmm. I think some people might forget there was a stretch there where it was really hard to find employment.
Right.
Like, the way it's been the last couple of years and everything, I think we have a revisionist history out sometimes about this stuff.
From like that 2009 to about 2011, that was a rough period.
I mean, nobody that's ever worked with me has questioned my work ethic.
Right.
So I feel confident in saying that it was not a matter of me not wanting to work.
No.
Especially with the amount of applications I filled out.
I'm
but
sure.
Since then, I've been doing this for quite a while, and I really haven't had to fill out a resume in a good 10 years almost.
Yeah.
I recently did fill some out and did some of that work and have been completely blown away by how much it's changed.
I did not
expect that. I mean, everything changes, so I should have realized it would, but mm-hmm. I just wasn't really thinking about it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a different world now with that.
It's not bad to keep your resume up to date either.
No.
Just as a general rule, yeah.
Definitely did that too while I was at
it. Yeah.
Fill the gap with any unpaid work or volunteering you did. Depending on what you do, you could even frame it as consulting work. Just try to have at least one actual client or person you worked with that you can talk about. Again, when you stretch, it's not just lying about a job. It's lying about the things you did on that job.
Yeah.
The idea of faking it till you make it. It has the smallest shelf life of anything. I've never been a fan of that. There are times in life where I agree you do have to do that.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about earlier, the more you do something, the better you get. I think of that a little bit.
Yeah.
There's different times where you're doing those kind of things. But overall, all you're going to do is be back in the unemployment line. I mean, how does that help? But it saves you like a week or two?
Yeah, right. And there's a black mark on your resume then, or your yes. work history. That's not a good thing.
I just don't agree with that. I really feel like now I do think that the volunteering thing is smart.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Anytime. People love to see that on resumes.
Just make sure you actually volunteer.
Yeah, don't lie about it.
Yes. If you went back to school or took classes, put that in your experience section.
Mm-hmm.
There's no set rule that says it has to go under education. Just list it like a job, and instead of a title, write continuing education.
Yes. When I took an internship at Prairie Public Radio in Fargo, when I lived out there, I was there for about 4 or 5 months. But I did; it wasn't necessarily part of my schooling because I was in school at that point for my master's degree. But I just wanted to do it, you know, get some experience. And I did list it as experience. I did not list it as education. I listed it as experience. It wasn't paid or anything, but it was, you know, one of those formative things that I thought was really important to put on the resume.
I like that. That's interesting. I think that this opens up things for people too.
Yeah.
Like just because you have gaps in your resume doesn't mean you're a bad worker. There's a lot of things that can fall into that.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about reasons that I know for some of the people that I know that aren't currently working or working a full-time job or any of those things, every one of them, they're in school. And they're continuing, they're literally continuing their education.
Exactly.
You can get money for going back to school. The government, there are scholarships and things like that to pay people to go back to school.
Grants, yep.
So if the government thinks this is okay and agrees with it, shouldn't the rest of us,
it should not be an issue, in other words, yeah.
The way we talk about government, I feel like we really have to change that narrative in some ways.
Oh, I agree 100%.
We do this. It's way too easy for us to say the government did this or the government did that.
Or didn't do this or didn't do
that.
That's
like looking at your laptop and it crashes and saying, why'd you do that, laptop? You're bad, laptop. Sometimes that happens, but overall, you might have done something to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
My papa used to talk about this all the time with the first home computers and everything. Like, the computer is only as smart as the person using it.
Yep.
Like, you can't necessarily ruin it unless you ruin it.
Garbage in, garbage out, right?
That's our government, baby. I didn't vote for that person. Did you vote? Did somebody you voted for ever in any election ever get elected? Okay, then you're a part of democracy.
You're a part of the system.
You're part of this whole thing. You can't just pick and choose what you take claim of. That's the same thing with America. You know what I claim with America? I claim you. I claim every other person. I also claim those racists out there that hate me, my family. Yeah. I claim the drudge. I claim every part of it because it's all a part of it. This tapestry, you don't get to pick and choose. It's not that ain't the way the world works. Mm-mm. This is all of us, and we take the good and the bad.
Yep. With everything, yeah.
That's what a true American is to me. Mm-hmm. It's not the person that just represents one part of a society or one opinion.
Yeah.
And that is on any side of the aisle. That is on anything. Yeah. Anything, it doesn't matter what initial we're talking about. Propaganda is propaganda. Mm-hmm. And pushing people one direction or another, or just giving the idea of, hey, it's not my responsibility. This falls on everybody else, even though you have the same citizenship as the rest of us.
Yep. Well, and like you were saying about government, we all make mistakes. It's not perfect, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a democracy. It's messy, and there's bureaucratic issues, and we've all dealt with it. At the same time, think of all the stuff that it actually does. I mean, think of all the things. You could go to any department in the federal government, go to their website because they've all got websites, see what they're doing. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
What all the things that they're getting done and doing stuff. Yeah, we see the bad stuff because it's, clickbait and everyone's like, oh, look what happened with rah, 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 rah. But at the same time, I mean, there's a lot of dedicated people working at these positions, putting out good data, doing good work, trying to get things done. And it's that's why I like to do that, just to remind myself. It's like, no, it's not all bad. There's a lot of really good stuff happening too.
It's important to get that memory or to remind ourselves of that every once in a while. There's way too many people walking around acting like they know everything. This has come up recently with a lot of unemployment and a lot of people that collect unemployment, and this idea of the mysterious person sitting at home eating bonbons while they collect your money. First off, a lot of the people complaining don't even pay that much taxes, don't really do that much. So get out of here. Miss me with that.
Yeah.
And the other thing, how many poor people do you know? How many people do you know actually collecting unemployment?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, I grew up with them. Mm-hmm. And around them. And I ain't never met a lazy homeless person. I ain't never met a lazy poor person. The hardest working people I've ever known in my life are poor people. You have to.
Otherwise, you won't survive.
Yeah. What do you think unemployment is? Do you think unemployment's $1 billion? Do you think that you get that unemployment check and whatever that amount of money is, you're perfectly set for life and you don't have to lift a finger and do anything? What? Understand what you're complaining about.
Yeah.
Understand what you're whining about. Because you sound like a child.
Yeah, unemployment is a great example because you pay into it. Everyone pays into unemployment. Yeah. It's your own money that you're getting back. It's like, come on. You don't know what you're saying.
We're getting mad at people for getting their own money back.
Yeah.
That's like yelling at old people for collecting Social Security. You might as well go do that. Hey, freeloaders. Hey, you 70-year-old freeloaders. Knock it off. Get a paper route. And what are you doing? Collecting money off it. Oh, you put that money in? Oh, that's your money? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I learned. There's another thing. Learning something and admitting we learned that we were wrong.
It's a good thing.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Taking a break, coming back with a real That Ain't Right story, man. This one's going to be a classic. It's coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates all morning long. A shout out to Jennifer and our friend Paul Trombley, all of our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Want to thank Madison Rafter, head over there at the Wood County Health, Southwood County Humane Society. A big thank you to her for joining us as well today. Mm-hmm. It's been a fun show.
It's been a great show.
We got to get an Any Right story in, though. It's not a complete show until we do that and get to some good stories of the day.
You know it.
If you were desperate to find the best psychic, what qualifications would you look for?
Oh, no.
Proven results? Yelp reviews? A PhD? A man in L.A. named Mauro Respero has just filed a third lawsuit against a psychic for defrauding him out of over $1,000 and causing emotional distress. Mauro says his ex-girlfriend hired a witch to place a curse on him, and he desperately needs it removed. He went to a psychic named Sophie, who he found through Google. She had a PhD, which she said required special schooling, so he chose her. Sophia told Mauro he could remove Sophia told Morrow that they could remove the curse by purchasing a $5,100 crystal from her. He gave her a $1,000 down payment and took the crystal. Now, this will probably come as a shock to all of you, so please sit down before I say this next sentence. Okay, everybody sitting down? The crystal didn't work, everybody.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. Shocking.
Oh, man.
Morrow thinks he was duped. He's demanding $25,000 or $2,500,000 in damages.
Jeez.
Sophia's lawyer says she didn't swindle Morrow, and if he gives the crystal back, she'll return his money. It's unclear how so this should have never even gone to court. They don't have to
basically
bother
our
attorneys, our judicial system, our judges. Like, just handle this. Handle your business.
Yeah.
It's unclear how Morrow has been able to refile the case again and again. A judge previously dismissed his claims, saying he lacked the evidence needed to move forward.
Right. Makes sense.
I don't know. Yeah, I would like to know how he keeps getting this up
there.
There's
something, yeah.
And also sounds like this guy's got money, because this is a good attorney that he's got that
really?
Can do this.
Okay.
There's no schlup attorney that can do...
no public defender, yeah.
They can keep bringing a case back after a judge has dismissed it. So you need a good attorney to be able to do that. That's going to cost you money.
Yep.
You got $1,000 to throw down on the crystal. To me, that means you've got some money to throw. So I don't... you know, I'm not trying to tell other people what to do with their money, but come on, man. Like,
this is a that ain't right from all sides.
It really is.
It really is. I mean, I don't even know where to start.
What's her PhD? I have a feeling that she has a PhD in like gymnastics or something, and she just put on there PhD and then, you know, comma psychic,
right,
that kind of thing. Like how you could kind of get away with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Taking your expertise from one field and claiming it helps in another field.
Yeah.
That happens quite a bit. But I mean, put it. Got a witch.
Got a witch.
I didn't know you could just go and hire witches to do that.
Yeah, just look in the yellow pages or Google it. Witches are us.
Yeah, which kind of bugs me because there is, you know, Wicca is an actual religion.
Yes.
That they call themselves witches. This is not the kind of witch.
No.
It was not them. This is the kind of, you know, the old Salem witch trial,
The fantasy
The fantasy witch.
The fantasy witch. Yeah. The make-believe witch, not the real witch and stuff. Which right away tells you something. Fantasy. I don't begrudge people believing in traditions or spells or curses or any of those things. It's your brain. It's your life. Do what you're going to do. But when you bring in the rest of society, our judicial system and all that other stuff, that's where I got an issue with it. That's where I'm like, come on, man. Like, our court systems are blogged up and clogged up as it is.
Yeah.
Like, this is the last thing we need. The only time I want to see this is on an episode of Night Court. Like, that's it. Like,
I think they probably did that
I'm
one.
I'm pretty sure they did. You're right. I think they did, actually. I don't know.
Well, and at the same time, what crystal? I don't care. Okay, we have shops in town here that sell crystals. They are not selling $5,000 crystals.
Yeah, I really want to know
that's insane,
like.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's fleecing something, and I don't care how much you believe you're a psychic. I'm sorry, that's just wrong.
The ability to be able to even think about dropping that kind of money, even the down payment.
I know. I mean,
a crystal.
Yeah. Jeez. You get a car for that.
I was just going to say, like, come on, man. Forget about the curse. Get yourself a new car or something like that. That'll make you feel better. That'll, you know.
Forget your old girlfriend.
Yeah.
Get out of your brain there. Yeah.
Or how about moving on?
Yeah.
Like, letting it go.
Let it go, man.
Let it go. There we go. We just get a
call back without even trying to.
Yes. That was awesome. We got a good stories of the day we want to get to, and we kick off with local good stories. Real quickly, programming note, tomorrow I'm going to be joined by Terry Johns, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Get the band back together with Terry. It's going to be fun. We always have a good time, laugh, and enjoy ourselves. And we get an update from the United Way. The United Way just released recently their ALICE report. We may touch on that a little bit, but we'll really get into it when they join us on Morning Magazine.
Yes.
Of course, there's all other kinds of things going on with the United Way. Find out more by going to uswac.org. Be sure to follow them on social media. Terry and I, in the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow, will be joined by Maria Hartley.
Oh, yes, that's
Miss
right.
Miss Wisconsin Rapids.
Yes, that's going to be very cool.
She's got an awesome new thing that, initiative that she has started, a program. We want to get in on that, want to talk with her about it, talk about how it's been going, wearing the crown, and how everything has been for her. She is such a fun personality, such a fun person to talk to.
Yeah, way better than Phil.
Oh, way better. No, we're kidding, Phil. Phil's laughing. Phil's laughing. He knows we're joking. We're not good enough actors to
fool. We're not.
He knows. Other great stuff going on in this area. Wanted to touch on this because it is Thursday, and our great friends at Focus, Feeding Our Communities with United Services, has all three of its original founding services all under one roof now.
Yes.
Shout out to the Neighborhood Table, to Neighborhood Meal Program, and all these things. And speaking of the Neighborhood, they offer meals served in-house on Thursdays at 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. That's today from 4:30 to 6:30. If you or someone you know is in need of a meal, please reach out to them. You can find out more by giving SWIPS a call at 422-2050 and reach out to the gang, find out more.
Yeah. It's a great facility, too, over
it
there.
Really
if you
is.
Haven't seen it yet, it's really nice.
Yeah, really nice. What do you got over there, Phil?
We've got the Lincoln High School Theater Music Department. They are presenting Nickelodeon's The SpongeBob Musical.
Yay!
Based on the series, of course, by Steven Hillenburg. We talked about SpongeBob a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
The number one cartoon, apparently, from the 90s.
Yeah.
The cool thing about this musical is not just that, of course, it's being put on by some of our great high school kids. And we always say support any kind of theater around here.
Mm-hmm.
These kids have a lot of fun. If you didn't get a chance to listen in last week, James had an interview with the cast and crew.
It was so great.
Go to civicmedia.us. Go to shows. You can check out the archive of that on the podcast.
Been a third hour of the morning show. No. It was a morning magazine.
Morning magazine from Friday. It's right up on the thing. It'll say SpongeBob Musical. You can't miss it if you want to listen to that. And we do encourage you to do that. But the cool thing is they asked a whole bunch of musicians to do the songs for this. So you got stuff like Steven Tyler and Joe Perry did one.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Bareilles. You got Jonathan Colton, who is hilarious.
Yeah.
One of some of my favorite groups, The Flaming Lips. They Might Be Giants both contributed, but also John Legend, Panic at the Disco, Cyndi Lauper. I mean, come on, man.
So cool. Yeah.
They have a song that was by David Bowie in there, too.
Yeah.
The guy who does the voice of SpongeBob contributed some of the music. Tom Kenny as well. So it's so cool. But we do encourage everyone to go check this out.
Yes.
They open tonight, 6:30 at the PAC. So go tonight. Go opening night. It's always an exciting night. We always love that. If you can't make it tonight, both Friday and Saturday, 7:30, and then Sunday, 2 o'clock matinee for that. Tickets are $15 at the door. Students with ID get it for $10. Of course, the Performing Arts Center is where it's at. For more information, call 715-424-6763. Tickets will be available at the door.
Yeah, buy local, support local. Doesn't just involve businesses. It involves the arts as well.
Indeed.
We're going to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow, and it really works out having Terry in on the last day for the book drive that they have been hosting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to everybody that has dropped off books. We've still got 24 hours to drop off some more. Drop-off location is with the United Way's offices at 351 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. This is all to collecting books so that we can do this during the Great Book Giveaway coming up June 6th through the 13th. Encourage you to look into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Find out ways that you can contribute to the Great Book Giveaway and do some reading with some kids and have some fun.
Indeed.
And a Run the Rapids 5K Run Walk is this Saturday, April 29th, kicking off at 9 o'clock at the Wisconsin Rapids Centralia Center. This is all to support child abuse prevention. Become part of this beloved event that rolls along the Wisconsin River. Proceeds benefit Wood County Human Services Department, Child Abuse Prevention Initiatives, and Community Services at the Southwood County YMCA. Registration is available at runtherapids.itsyourrace.com. That's runtherapids.itsyourrace.com. Things kick off at 8:30 with the Kids Dash 5K Run Walk at 9, awards and refreshments will follow. Keep in mind, even if you are not a part of this event, you can be a part of it. One, be a good citizen. Keep an eye out for runners and walkers. Maybe even encourage them as you're driving past or see them or anything. And everybody can get on this action, on this. You in your own personal life, are you dedicating money to a cause or time to a cause? I would like to think that as divisive as the times are, we can all agree hurting kids is bad.
Wrong. It's very wrong.
It's very wrong. Like, there's never been a time, no scenario, there's no scenario you can send me. I don't care if it's a Chucky doll. There's no scenario where you can hurt a child.
Right.
Ever. And I'd like to think that 100% of the audience is with us on this.
That would be the hope, for sure.
Go ahead and get in on this one. Again, find out more and register at runtherapids.itsyourrace.com.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to touch on a couple of cool stories here nationwide. Mattel just unveiled the first Barbie doll with Down syndrome.
Really?
It's part of their effort to make Barbie more inclusive. They've also got them with hearing aids, wheelchairs, prosthetic legs now.
Wow.
Again, representation matters.
I had no idea.
If you want to push back at this, you're going to tell a little girl in a wheelchair that she can't have a Barbie that looks like her? Like, who are you? What are you doing?
Why would you do that?
Why are you a part of society then? Why are you even a part of this whole thing? That's a pretty cool darn story.
Yeah.
A couple in Florida named Vic and Marge Gerard just celebrated their 80th anniversary. She's 98. He's 101. I'm happy.
Oh, my gosh.
I love this story.
Oh, wow.
They got married on April 25th in 1943.
Oh, my gosh.
They say the secret is to be honest with each other and take care of each other.
There you go. That's what you need right there.
Got
be
me.
Honest. Take care of each other.
That got me.
Yeah.
That's good. That's beautiful, man. 80 years. My God, is that awesome.
That is so cool.
A 3-year-old with autism wandered onto a set of train tracks in New York this month, but the crew of an upcoming train saved him. They stopped in time, and it's all on video.
Wow.
His mom was looking for him and was very emotional when she showed up.
Of course.
Five MTA workers just got commendations.
There you go. That's tough.
For it and everything. They're heroes.
Yes, they
every
are.
One of them.
Yep.
A podcaster in Pittsburgh named Rob Oliver now holds the record for the longest interview marathon. He talked to 137 people in 37 hours and 44 minutes. An accident in 1993 left him paralyzed, and 2 years ago, he launched a podcast called Perspectives on Healthcare, about the healthcare system.
Nice.
So the record attempt was also to raise awareness for that.
Good for him. Good for him.
That is so darn cool.
That is very cool. Plus exhausting.
Yes.
I can't even imagine.
Man, we did, 2 hours yesterday of that?
Yeah.
And I was beat afterwards.
Yes, yeah.
I was that kind of exhausted where you can't fall asleep for a while. Like,
yeah.
you're just too awake, but
right.
You're beat. Like, every
yeah.
part of your body is beat. That, man, that is impressive. That is very impressive.
That's very impressive. Got to give him credit for that.
Big shout out to him. And a shout out to the best listeners in radio. I hope you guys all know out there how much we appreciate you.
We do.
This job is all about you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do, everything, it is very similar to journalism. It should never be about us. It should be about you guys. Do we
yep.
do relatable stuff and share stories? Yeah.
Yep.
Do we do real radio? You're darn right we do.
We do.
Do we do local radio?
Yes.
As long as we are able.
Yes,
as long as
we are
in
able.
This chair, I will do everything I can to make sure that all we ever do, the main thing the WFHR is known for is local radio, broadcasting from Central Wisconsin, giving you airtime from Central Wisconsin, original
yep.
content from Central Wisconsin. We're able to do that because of all you advertisers out there, all of you people that contribute to our show. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Tune in tonight, 7 o'clock, Trail Tunes, WIRI 105.5.
Yes, make sure to do that. I'm sorry I didn't give you more time for
that's
that,
okay.
brother.
I wanted to make sure I got that in there. Speaking of local shows, I wanted to get that in there.
Yeah, that's my fault. I keep forgetting. I'm sorry. That's a great show.
Yeah,
check it
tonight
out,
at 7 on WIRI. Check it out.
Yeah, support our friends over at Wiz Country. Support
yep.
Seth's show. And we'll be back with more right after. Oh, I like the way Steph says that, so I'll let her do it.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.